Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Farai Chidea is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Farai is a new friend, and she is a very accomplished person. She's a senior contributor to 538.com. She's a distinguished writer in residence at New York University. But in the past, she's been a reporter for Newsweek and CNN and ABC, an award-winning author, and she's also a columnist. Her new book, her sixth one, by the way, I think this is the sixth one. I know she has written six books. The Episodic Career, Advanced Uncorrected Proof, Not for Sale. She's our new friend, Farai Chidea. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Farai, I love what you talk about in your book because it's such a great report on what's going on today. In my long career, and this I've been around a long time, I've never seen a workplace as agitated, as bifurcated, as trifurcated. I mean, we've never had so many generations and so many different sets of values. The marketplace is undermining the workplace, the global economy, the ones and zeros, all the digital stuff is contributing to more agitation. I don't know. There's never been a time like this in history, has there?
No, there hasn't. And, you know, part of it is because we human beings are so inventive. And so one of the things that's actually eroding jobs is one of the things that we as human beings have created, which is technology. Mm-hmm. Right now, a lot of technology companies are creating wealth for their owners and stockholders, but they're not creating jobs. So if you compare AT&T at the top of its market capitalization, you know, when it was the big dog of telecom, they employed 360,000 people, whereas Google, at the same market capitalization, employs, you know, 50, 60,000 people.
Yeah, well, so look, and compare them to Airbnb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know?
the whole disruptive technologies.
Or Uber, for that matter. Yeah, and so everything's disrupted. The disruption is amazing, and you said you used two terms there that I think are the key to all this, to understanding this. I think the fundamentals, and that is you use the term human being, and you use the term digital. The word digital. Well, human beings are analog. Digital is digital. Technology is digital. Modern 21st century technology, most of it's digital. We're analog. And isn't that the real fundamental issue? We're trying to reconcile this the analog beings with the digital technology?
Yeah, I mean the thing is, you know, nobody would say technology is a bad thing. I mean, I can communicate with my relatives across the country and the world using technology.
Right.
Advanced medicine leverages technology. So it's not a matter of technology being bad, but we got ourselves into some hot water when we started creating technologies that eliminate jobs, and we didn't have new job creation on deck. We just didn't have a plan B. And we didn't even realize we needed a plan B, frankly. But now we know.
Right, right.
And we know the hard way.
Well, and what's happened, the one of the things that I've observed over my life and my career have been the changing of the models. And when I started out, a model might last a year, might last 5 years.
Yeah.
Today, the compression of time between models is what's taking everyone's breath away, right? A model might last 3 days or 3 months, but certainly not a year. And so all that compression, it winds up leaving people out, doesn't it? I mean, the people fall through the cracks. If you're good at one thing and you don't keep up, a year from now, you won't be employable.
Well, that's something in this book, The Episodic Career, I really go into lifelong learning as a strategy that we all have to master. And unfortunately, you know, the point I really try to make is that lifelong learning is your responsibility. It's not your company's responsibility. It's not anybody's responsibility but your own, because there used to be, because there was in the past this idea that you would stay at a company a very long time, companies were much more willing to train people. But over time, as people began to cycle in and out of workplaces, you started to have an attitude from a lot of corporations saying, look, well, we can't spend money on training you because we know you're going to be gone in a year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that caused a cycle that I think has been bad for business and bad for humans, where nobody's really investing in this human capital. And so I make the argument, first of all, that employers should be doing more, and go into a whole line of reasoning by Reid Hoffman, the billionaire who started LinkedIn, that, you know, there should be a new employer-employee contract. But in the meantime, if we don't have that, we're responsible for our own lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is full of people who've retrained, you know, whether it's retraining to be a corporate executive, retraining to be a middle manager, retraining to be a welder, people who have taken the bull by the horns and said, I'm not waiting around for anyone to save me.
And see, there's every community has a continuing education resources available to them across
Absolutely.
The country, from the local colleges, junior colleges, universities. There's the chambers of commerce. There are all kinds of training available, as you say, that you have to take care of yourself. If the company's not going to do it, we've gotten resumes in. We've interviewed people, Fry, that who were in their 30s, who didn't put in their resume that they knew Excel. They knew how to use Excel or a PowerPoint or anything at all that would make us believe that we could take that knowledge and make them into an employee of a media company. And these are not 60-year-olds. These are 30-year-old people.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people have different ideas about what they're even supposed to put on a resume these days. So some people assume that you're psychic and you're reading their resume
It's shocking that they don't that they're applying, that people would apply for a job at a media company, which they should know means there's going to be a lot of ones and zeros, and a lot of technical tools. And not let me know that. You've got a matrix in your book that I want you to talk to us about when we come back. Will you do that? It'll help people.
Absolutely.
It'll help people to understand, folks, what the book's about and how this book can help you. The Episodic Career by Farai Shadeya. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassing. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.